Business Matters in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. The part-time Level 8 Honours degree in business is delivered through a mix of online and face-to-face lectures. Email execedbusiness@lyit.ie. That's execedbusiness@lyit.ie or call 918-6206.
I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. On this week's show, we focus on the Derelict and Donegal and Beyond Conference held in Letterkenny last Friday. Later in the programme, we'll be hearing from property owner Lee Gooch, Donegal County Council's Heritage Officer Joe Gallagher, and Architecture Officer with the Heritage Council, Colin Murray. My first guests this week are Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter Secretary Donan Harvey and Letterkenny Teddy Towns Co-Chairman and Owner of McGee's Pharmacy in Letterkenny, Jared McCormick, who organised the conference. I began by asking Donan how Friday's event came about.
Well, as well as being on the Cathedral Quarter, I'm also on the Teddy Towns Committee. And I suppose a topic in the Teddy Towns, the report on Letterkenny, was relating the high level of dereliction of vacancy on this year. And there was a couple of discussions. And then I kind of mentioned to Jared, you know, like how could we maybe address this here? And then, and I suppose then through the Cathedral Quarter work, I kind of realised, like, I've been following it and I've been looking at this issue for a long time. And I said, maybe, you know, what if we had a conference and we got speakers from around the country who talk about this issue on a daily basis, and what if we bring them together and then, you know, show that, look, dereliction doesn't have to be a permanent feature, and I suppose Church Lane is the living proof of that there, and tying it in together that, you know, we can go beyond the dereliction. We can create a brighter future for ourselves.
And Jared, turning to yourself, you summed up the conference in your closing remarks. Were you happy with the way things went, and what are you expecting to happen from here on?
That's the last one is definitely a very good question. What do we expect going forward? Yes, first answer to the first question. Yeah, we were happy. I have to be truthful with you. A lot of the happiness is that we got through the other side of it, because neither of us had ever done anything like this before. There was a big abyss of information for us. So we were happy, for sure. And we were extremely happy. I mean, we read about 90 people at that, which was way beyond our expectations. And then your second question is, where do we go from here? Well, I think we touched on it earlier on. Things don't just change overnight. What you do is you keep working at things. We both have a very shared interest on the town and what we're trying to do. As Donan says, he's a very valuable member of our Teddy Towns Committee, as well as the huge work that he does here in the Church Lane. So really, we're both aware that you just keep chipping at it. You set your stall out of what you're trying to do, of what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, you keep consistent, you keep talking, you keep on the same track. And, you know, by small incremental steps, maybe we will move forward. But I think that's what it will be.
In your closing remarks, Jared, you mentioned when this was being discussed at committee level with the Teddy Towns and the Cathedral Quarter, that the more you talked about what was wrong, you kept coming back to actually what was being done right.
Yeah, that day, I have to be honest, I was quite despondent from the information that we got back from the council. I just felt that we were hitting a brick wall, basically. And, you know, Donan came aside after the meeting and he just started to talk about the right things that are happening in the town. And, I thought, God, that's right. He's thinking the right way. And we met then later on. We had a wee meeting later on, and Donan had thought about it more. And, you know, during the conference, we did talk a lot about the problems, but we also tried to focus as well on the success stories. Because, you know, you don't solve things by being negative. Now, you do have to have debate, and you must discuss things, and you must look at the problems in the eye and deal with them. But, you know, you'll inspire more people with good stories rather than bad stories.
Don, how long did it take to pull this conference together?
Well, I think it might have been around January. I know we kind of really started to discuss it. And then, it was then making contact or kind of get in contact with the different people, and I had an idea of the speakers that we could pull together, and I said to Jared, like, I can get the list of speakers, but how do we fill the place? And then it's, you know, going through the Tidy Towns network, and then like I must thank Councillor Jerry McMonagall that he put it through the local councillor network as well. So it was a case that I suppose then working on we knew that we had, I mentioned it to Joe Geller, the heritage officer, and I mentioned to him around the same time. So it's around 6 months it was in the planning, but then I suppose really 6 weeks, the last 6 weeks, you're really honing in on the last 2 weeks. It's really hectic. Just, again, like one of the things that, Councillor McGonagall advised me, you know, well, why don't you email the not just the Donegal Local County Council, but then also like the neighbouring councillors, like Roscommon, Sligo, Leitrim. And then I thought to myself, you know what, I'm in for a pound or whatever that saying is, that'll go the whole hog. And I just flat out an email, I know every local councillor in the country now at this stage, that just sending an email. And but what the good thing was, and it was a great coincidence that, and this was sheer luck, that the conference of the local councillors is on the following day in Bundoran. So a lot of the councillors from around the country were coming up anyway. And again, there's the crossover between Tidy Towns and, as you know, a lot of the local councillors are on the Tidy Towns committee. So, you know, that there really, really helped us to bring the people in.
And Donan, were you surprised at the level of interest and the turnout?
The turnout, I was delighted, especially there were so many people then that when we registered things, first registered, but then it just, when I looked down at the whole room was packed, especially at the beginning of and so many different councillors, you know, that I was really, really surprised at that there. The interest, I think it was a good conference to have because it's not just us. It's not just Letterkenny. This is a national problem. And, you know, and I think our speakers reflected it even on a cross border. You know, we heard with Kyle Thompson in the Fountain Estate and Derry, like that he related to that there, the problems that they face in there. And again, Jude Sherry and Frank O'Connor and their campaign of Derelict Ireland. So I knew it was it's out there and people really want to see solutions to this here.
Jared, it was good to have the ear of the Minister of State at the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, Deputy Peter Burke, here today as well.
Yes, it was a great opportunity, you know, to get right into the ear of government to talk exactly about the problems and to ask direct questions about dereliction and about looking for solutions and the problems that appear when you're trying to solve some of these problems. And we really were delighted that we got them. It was a great coup for us, to be truthful.
What's your overall view of the dereliction issue in Letterkenny, Jared?
Maybe it was about 2 or 3 years ago that on foot of information that the adjudicator had asked us about getting more information about dereliction, I actually just walked the town over a week myself, and I did a very crude map of the town. And from that then I just, I mapped it and made different phone calls and I learned a lot. I talked to a lot of state agents and, you know, maybe found out who owned what, and maybe some of them I didn't find out who owned. But I got quite a bit of information, and even since that, some of the buildings have come back into use. And I know for a fact that the knowledge that I gained from that exercise is invaluable, and, you know, you can't beat knowledge for trying to solve problems. So, but the problem won't be solved overnight.
Any big surprises on your findings?
Oh, none that I can say on the radio. Anyway, I'm afraid. No, it wasn't that good of a. It was a lot of people would think it's quite a boring survey, but it was interesting what we got out of it.
So, finally, Donan, can we expect similar conferences in the future, or will Letterkenny be the lead for maybe other counties taking up what you did yourself?
Well, it was very interesting, like that. Again, we're going into the abyss in so many ways. Neither had done anything like that there, but and I was speaking to a delegate from Limerick, and they you know, it was only really the type of issue, you know, you could look at it at different points of view, like you could look at the legal ownership, what, if you could get an expert on the legal of how to tackle, you know, suppose family disputes, things like that there. And there are different cases, scenarios, and there's more scope for that there, definitely. Well, like, and we would, whether, how we go about it and do it this year, and maybe then the discussions about, you know, and even talking to Eunan Quinn about bringing it to another level again and having a real, whatever format that might take. But again, like, it's something that the council might look about, that, you know, this could be a real winner for the council and for the, you know, for ourselves and things like that. But like, I'm delighted that Letterkenny was the first destination for a conference of this here, and it shows like the vision between the Tidy Towns and the Cathedral Quarter, that even at a local level, at a local community level, that we're offering solutions and I'm glad that the minister was there, and again, you know, as much as the minister pointed out the good things that the government are doing, but it was good that he heard, look, you know, there is things, and one of, like, Councillor McBride says about one of the things is frustration, and that's a word that did come from, and there was some honest conversations, and we need to have honest conversations, most definitely. And I think, I'm hoping now that they'll take it on board and they'll look about this here. And as the question about having conferences again in the future, again, we'll sit down and definitely, why not, sort of, I would look, but we'll see how things go, so.
Donald Harvey, Secretary of the Cathedral Quarter in Letterkenny, and Jared McCormick, owner of McGee's Chemist and co-chair of Letterkenny Tidy Towns. Thanks for talking to us today on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks, Kieran.
Now, Highland Radio presenter Lee Gooch, who purchased number 2 Church Lane in 2016, shared his experience about the restoration works he carried out during the afternoon session of the conference.
Lee, you're very welcome to Business Matters.
Oh, that's a kind intro. Delighted, he says. I'm delighted to be interviewed by you.
Lee, we've just come to the end of the Derelict and Donegal and Beyond conference here in Dillon's Hotel. You were one of the contributors. Can you talk to me a wee bit about what you said and what you told the audience today here?
Well, I suppose that I wanted to be as truthful and honest and for everybody that travel, because people travel nationwide to be here from Tralee and everywhere, to be here today, Tipperary and all over the place. So I wanted it, while I was talking, to be of benefit so they could take away a few gems possible on my experience of working on the property in number 2 Church Lane here in Letterkenny. And I started back in 2016. So I talked them through the different, you know, pitfalls and hoops, and about the funding that I got in, and about the guidance that I got along the way, and different things I learnt about renovating or bringing back an old building that's been derelict for 25 years, bringing it back to life.
So 6 years as a long project, but I'm sure there's a great sense of satisfaction, Lee, once you've seen the finished product.
Yeah, well, if you said to me back in 2016 when I bought the property, right, if you said, Lee, in 6 years' time, you're going to have a fabulous one-bedroom bespoke house in the heart of Letterkenny, how would you feel? I would say, I would be the happiest man in the world, and I am the happiest man in the world, because I never thought I would have it done in that time, because I bought the property in 2016, and I had Noah, my son, at that stage, and he was 1 year old, so I had a lot on my plate, but it was Don and Harvey, and I can't praise Don and Harvey enough. He's the heartbeat. He has the grow. He has everything. He has the enthusiasm. 24/7, every day, and he's so passionate about it. And it was him that reached out his arm when I bought the property. He says, Lee, do you want some help in the back? I'll clear out. And I scraped up every bit of sense, every penny I had to buy number 2 Church Lane. I took a bit of borrowing out of the credit union, local credit union, out of Kenny. We'd be lost without them. And also my father as well. And to this day, my father always says, you haven't paid me back yet, so I still have a stake in the property in Church Lane. So, but it was Donan who offered me a branch of help, meaning that he would go into the back of the building, which was full of rubble, junk, waste, you name it, a derelict building that hasn't been looked at for 25 years. And he went in there weekend after weekend, and cleared it all out for me, and he organised a skip, and it didn't cost me a cent. And it so I'm, and only for Donan started that ball rolling, I would probably could be still sitting on the property because I have a child that has additional needs and my priority, first of all, is my family. But I would have been engrossed in that. But this was a great way to escape, I suppose, and to look after my own mental well-being. But if it wasn't for Donan, day one, linking up with me and encouraging me to make a shape. And then he introduced me to the likes of Clett Beattie from Donegal County Council, Joe Geller. And I well, see, nobody knows this, right? Like, I'm up since 5 o'clock and this is 5 o'clock in the evening, days. But yeah, so it was big thanks to Don and Harvey. I can't thank him enough.
And you decided to embark on a second project, Lee, in Remelton.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, what would be the way you would say, you broke your teeth in this? Was that a phrase, is it? I broke my teeth and I learned so much over those 5 to 6 years about bringing back an old building to life and the right way to do it, like not to be using cement and keeping the existing windows, repair only, replace what you only have to replace and keep as much as you can of the heritage and of the building and that. So yeah, so a couple of years ago I was able to purchase the Guildhall in Remelton, which is a fabulous big old building. And again, so I used all the little things that I learnt along with from the Church Lane, and I'm applying them now into this humongous big project, which is the Guildhall. I'll break it down into phases. And if I didn't, I started work this year on it. Well, I started... there had to be a lot of safety work done on the roof because the slate's loose and all of that, and I got a little small bit of funding from the council, Clett Beattie, through the BHIS for emergency repairs on the roof. But if I didn't attempt to do anything on the building this year, the building would have been in ruin next year because the slates are all off, there's pigeons in there, the walls, once the roof's destroyed, the water can get into them walls. The walls are about 19 inches thick and they just bolster, they just break up, and that would have been the end of the Guildhall. So it was like, in the current climate, it's very scary, and to raise the finance and all of those things to take on board. And when you're talking about inflation, mortgage rates and all of this, the big thing, it was like, either do it now or I wouldn't probably have done it. So I had to take that leap.
How big is the building in Remelton, and what is your ultimate aim for that?
Oh my God, it's such a lovely building. And I was down there during the conference because I had a structural engineer and a conservation architect down there. And I have an archaeologist, David Sweetman, coming on Sunday at 11 o'clock to view the properties actually on holidays here. So it's a big building. I've broken it into two phases. So phase one is going to be a two-bedroom temporary for the temporary tourism accommodation, two-bedroom. It's going to be loads of character in it. And then phase two, we have... The other side is like the big court hall that used to be there. It's fabulous. It's going to be a three-bedroom, and that's down the line. So, you know, you can't plan too ahead. So that will be my next phase. There's a big warehouse there, which is magical as well, and there's a big open courtyard there as well. So, like, there's three or four different elements that you could have going on there, and it's bang in the centre of the lovely heritage town, which is Remelton. People are so nice down there, and I made so many good friends down there already. The contractor is from the area, so there's the money's going around and round. A lot of local people from there working on the project, which I'm delighted, and I just can't wait to see phase one completed.
And will there be a third project after number two's
completed? Oh my goodness. Yeah, put a little more effort in the breakfast program. No, I'm just very happy. So no, phase one will be the two bed. Phase possibly two will be the three bed. So phase one is the two bed. Phase three will be a three bed. And then the warehouse, see what we do with that. The courtyard is in a fabulous big space surrounded by a lovely high wall. So peaceful in there. And there's so much scope you have within that, and it's just around from the quay opposite the town hall. It could be opened up, it could be, you know, used for the public. I said to the council, I says, look, I'm open to open it up to the public, if you want to help, I'm looking after the building. I have this fabulous courtyard, there's an in and an out of it, there'd be a way that you could get lost in it. It's like the Craft Village and Derry and stuff. So I pitched that to the council, but I don't know if they're ever going to bite it, but because it is a private space, I suppose. But look, I'm willing to open it up if they ever do wish and to come to some sort of agreement. But yeah, there's loads of scope down there, and there's going to be loads of other work happening over the next couple of years. And it's a gem already, Remelton. It's going to be a piece of paradise in years to come.
And finally, Lee, what is your main takeaway from today's conference?
My main it was just so good to see meet so many more like-minded people that have a passion for old things and keeping what we have. And like when you see the book there, the hand, nice booklet that was handed out there with all the old shop fronts and that, isn't that just so nice? You can't buy that. You can't manufacture that. And surely we have all these lovely new buildings and stuff, but that's grand. But you have something special when you bring something back that was derelict, bringing it back to life. It's unique. It's bespoke. And you just can't buy that anywhere, you know. You just put your heart into it and you have something that, you know, you can enjoy for your time and hopefully pass it on to maybe a family member.
Lee, nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
I'm delighted to be joined on Business Matters by Joe Gallagher, Donegal County Council Heritage Officer. Joe, you're very welcome to Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
Joe, we've just come to the end of the Derelict and Donegal and Beyond Conference in Dillon's Hotel and the celebrations on Church Lane here. You spoke in detail, Joe, about the three towns that undertook major restoration projects in the last while, Letterkenny, Remilton and Ballyshannon. What lessons, Joe, have you learned from those initiatives?
Well, really, there was a lot to be learned, and I suppose working with the various community groups in those towns to try and regenerate the historic built environment. One of the things that we realised was that a heritage-led approach to regeneration was very important. And usually that's based on a conservation plan. And when a group would approach us in the early stages, we would say to them, look, you need to get a plan in place. And the temptation would be for them to actually jump right in and get the works done. But initially we said, look, you know, you need to get a plan, you need to get the advice, you need to avail of the advice that's available for that kind of work. Really, it was to try and encourage them to get involved, and the community involvement really is vital in any of these projects. It wouldn't have been possible to do the work that we've done here in Church Lane or in Remelton or in Ballyshannon were it not for a really engaged community. Certainly the wider community needs to be engaged, but we also need sort of some local champions as well. And they can be individuals and they can be community groups. And we've kind of worked with both in the three towns that we've worked in so far. Getting the best conservation advice, some of that is available within the local authority, within Donegal County Council, either through the Conservation Office or the Heritage Office. And we try to make things as simple as possible for groups and individuals that want to get involved in regeneration of historic buildings. Because some of the administration can be quite daunting, even applying for the funding, you know, how to get started on a project, where do I need to go for advice, what do I do with my building, this is a problem that I have but I don't know how to address it. So it's really kind of pointing them in the right direction and getting them to maybe improve the organisation within their own group. Some of the groups are very talented themselves. They have an enormous array of talent within their own group. They might have people who are expert in financial administration. They might have people who have got a legal background. They might have people who have got a building background. They might have people even that are archaeologists or architects in their own right. So it's a matter of trying to avail of the expertise of this within their local community group as well, and then seeing where they need the additional support. And we can help them and advise them and point them in the right direction.
Joe, the need for regular and good communication between project partners is crucial to the success of any project.
It is. It's absolutely vital, and that takes time and effort. Building up the relationships initially is really important with any community group because, you know, you have to build up that level of trust, and that takes a little bit of groundwork, and that needs to be done really well in advance of any application for funding, well before the project starts, so that people get to know one another, get to know the systems that they need to go through, get the proper advice. So you're really talking about a long-term investment when you're talking about heritage-led regeneration.
And Joe, there are a number of employment opportunities when it comes to the whole business of restoration.
There is, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's what you find out about is that, you know, any works that take place to our historic buildings, they provide jobs. They provide jobs for heritage professionals, be they conservation architects, be they builders, builder suppliers, even kind of the wider service sector as well. While these people sort of are in the community, they need to be supported as well. So there's really kind of a lot of jobs in the local community that they support. And as well as that, I mean, some of the premises that we're dealing with as well, some of them are dwellings, but some of them are also business premises, and it's getting them ready for business or improving the look of their business. Or, because, you know, historic buildings as well, when you go to a new place or a place that you're not familiar with, and you take a walk around, you're very often attracted to the older buildings, particularly if they're well maintained, if there's activity going on in them, you're more attracted into those buildings rather than, let's say, if it's just a modern building, you know, a fairly standard construction. You know, you want sort of the places that are unique, that are a little bit bespoke, that are characteristic of the area that you're in, and they're the places that you're attracted towards when you go to a new place, I think.
So, Joe, for individuals, business owners, or community groups that are considering maybe embarking on a restoration project, what would your advice be to them?
Well, I would say that, you know, look at the buildings that you've got, and what are their characteristics? Why are they important to you? Give a little bit of thought to that. What makes them special? Is it the family connections? Is it, you know, do they serve an important role in the community? Does it make the place in which you live and work more a more attractive place in which to live, to work and to, you know, do business? Engaging the help that's available, and like I said, there's help within the Conservation Office and the Heritage Office of Donegal County Council. But, you know, there may be outside expertise that you'll need as well, and we can point you in the right direction to get started there. You need to have a plan in place, and you need to try and get that in place as soon as possible. And that will take a while. It'll take a consideration. You'll have to consider what are your aspirations, what's appropriate for the local community, what regeneration will respect the historic buildings that you have as well, because that's really important. It's not just about what people would like to see, it's also saying, well, how can we respect what we've already got? And I think if you get all those ingredients right, then you're well on your way sort of to having a good heritage-led regeneration project. But getting that, you know, building up that trust, if you like, sort of between the different community members and the different agencies and the local authority, if they're involved in your project, is really, really important. And you mentioned it already in terms of that regular communication. That's so important in terms of reinforcing that trust. And like I said, that takes time and effort as well. It's a long-term investment.
And Joe, finally, are you hopeful that the projects undertaken in Letterkenny, in Remelton and in Ballyshannon will inspire other groups and other parts of the county to do the same?
I think so, and you know, the Historic Towns Initiative, which has really been taking place here in Church Lane and in Remelton and in Ballyshannon, it's led out by the Heritage Council and the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage in partnership with Donegal County Council and the community groups in those areas and the property owners. I think that it does provide a recipe for success. You know, it's helped secure the building envelopes in these towns. The focus is very much on the exterior of the buildings. And what you find is that the owners, the property owners themselves then, undertake additional works to bring these buildings back into use or to keep them in use. And that's really important, because the best way to conserve a building is to keep it in use, whether that's as a dwelling or whether that's as a business premises. So it's really important to get those ingredients right. But I'd be very hopeful that with getting the proper advice within the local authority and whatever additional expertise is needed within that, you can offset those costs through the Historic Towns Initiative, because, again, the funding that's there is very generous. It's up to 70% funding that's available. And that will allow you as well to cover the costs of the conservation expertise that you might need, whether it's a conservation architect, a structural engineer, or whatever it might be, where that experience doesn't already exist within your community group or within the local authority. So there's a lot of advice and help that we can offer you. So I'd be very hopeful that any group that would approach us, that we would try and work with them. Only one settlement each year can be put forward by the local authority under the Historic Towns Initiative, so it is a very competitive process. We've been very lucky in that the 4 years that we've applied under the scheme, we've been successful. So we think we've got a very good recipe, and I think that's, again, based on our experience here in Church Lane, we've kind of very much used that as a model for Remelton and our two projects in Ballyshannon in two successive years, including this year itself. So we would hope to roll that project out insofar as we can. But again, you know, it does take a lot of investment in terms of time and preparation. So really for next year, if you're planning on getting involved, if you would like your town to be part of the Historic Towns Initiative, please do make contact within the next few weeks with the Heritage Office or the Conservation Office of Donegal County Council, and we'll try and point you in the right direction.
Joe Gallagher, Heritage Officer with Donegal County Council, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thanks, Kieran.
Join us after the break when we'll be talking to Colin Murray.
Business Matters, in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. The part-time Level 8 Honours degree in business is delivered through a mix of online and face-to-face lectures. Email execedbusiness@lyit.ie. That's execedbusiness@lyit.ie. Or call 9186206.
You're welcome back. Colin Murray is Architecture Officer with the Heritage Council, and during his conference address, he spoke about the role the Heritage Council plays in challenging dereliction. I started our conversation by asking the former Letterkenny resident if he was happy with how the conference went.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's really interesting to see a focus on this issue in Letterkenny and looking beyond Letterkenny at the rest of the country. We're here as well today to celebrate the Historic Towns Initiative achievements in Church Lane here in Letterkenny, and the work of the Cathedral Quarter Committee, and in particular Don and Harvey. And it's a cause for celebration as well as a cause for concern about these wasting assets that we have across the country, our existing building stock, and how can we mobilise it to address the problems that we have, particularly the housing crisis. We have loads and loads and loads of 180,000 derelict houses in Ireland, according to the census last April, the first results they just came out there. So we have this asset of 180,000 houses. We have a housing crisis. We have people coming from Ukraine. And how do we get those two facts working together? How do we make that problem, make a solution to that problem? And it's not easy. And there are some barriers in the way that we think about property, about regulations and all of that. And I think what I was trying to highlight in this, in my contribution today, was that if you take a community-led approach and you work from the ground up and you build support, that you can actually tackle some of these problems. Now, another thing that we were supporting today was the outcomes of the funding that the Heritage Council gave to Church Lane here in Letterkenny under the Historic Towns Initiative funding. And of course, that funding came from the Department of Heritage as well. But just what you can do, I'm really struck by what Donan said in his presentation about beginning with flower boxes, which seems crazy. But when you move on from the positive spirit that's behind the flower box, and yes, you look at the vacant window behind that flower box and you ask the question, but it motivates people to move from one thing to another and to turn a place from being beautiful, even in the smallest details, to being re-inhabited. And we had Lee Gooch as well here today, who has taken one of these houses and moved back into it and turned it into a very beautiful, arresting place to live. And we need to see that happen 100,000 times across Ireland, because the resources are there for that to occur.
Tell me, Colm, when you left Letterkenny almost 40 years ago to study architecture, did you ever think that you would be back in the town talking about dereliction?
That's a funny question. I mean, I have a journey, maybe not to tell you today, Kieran, about going into architecture and then thinking about environmental problems and realizing that the best way to be an architect for me was to be a conservation architect, taking care of existing buildings because they're so interesting. They're material resources. But this is not my first time back in Letterkenny. In 1995, I spent a summer here. looking at every single building in the urban area for the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage. And that was an education in itself. Looking at every single building up and down the main street, what style it was. I went into the valuations office and I found out how old those buildings were, so I could make a kind of a date map of history of Letterkenny and find the oldest building on the main street and things that were hidden behind walls and so on.
What was most fascinating finding for you?
I'll tell you. It was Kelly's on the lower main street. It's closed up now. The hardware shop is closed, but in the yard beside it, from the street you can see Letterkenny Mart, 1859, I think it says. And in behind it is the original surviving stalls in a kind of a U-shaped or circular courtyard with places for people to buy and sell things way, way back then in the 1850s. And that still survives. I hope it still survives in there at the bottom of the main street. And that's... let's say one of the very first moves in business, shall we say, in Letterkenny, you know, a place for people to buy and sell things, and it's still in there behind the walls on the lower main street.
Letterkenny is very much a trading town. Colm, what's your observation of how things are going now?
Well, I remember at that time, 1995, the newspapers were full of stories about Letterkenny being the fastest growing town in Ireland, in Europe, in fact, and being really struck by that. And I mean, Kieran, you'll know as well that I'm a blow-in to Letterkenny, and I remember realising that there was this wave of expansion, new families, new people coming in, making new communities. I remember my brothers and sisters and the friendships that they were making across the town. So, yes, it grew. It grew from 3,000, I think, was being said earlier on today, to 10,000 at that time, to 20,000 or 25,000 now. So we're in a town that has grown so rapidly. And I mean, we could look at it critically and we look at the planning and is there mistakes made and can we do things better, etc. But, and as a town, it has also been impacted on by the border, of course, and Brexit as well. So all of those factors have to be taken into account. But in my job, what I'm concerned about is the old heritage and the traditional buildings and the contribution that they can make to the life of the town and also to the attractiveness of the town as a reason or a place to come and visit and a place to live. So for all those reasons, I would still be optimistic about Letterkenny and what it has to offer.
Colm, can you talk to me about the Heritage Council, what its role is and how many people are employed there?
Yeah, I mean, we're a national organisation, but we're a small organisation. We have about 20 of a staff, and we were originally set up to advise the government about what heritage is, what is this stuff. Nobody knew what heritage was, or it's not a word that comes off the tongue easily to an Irish person. So we were trying to tell the government how they could manage or approach or appreciate heritage, support it. So that was our primary role in the first instance. But we quickly found that we needed to support people directly in taking care of the heritage. And then we became a kind of a grant-giving organisation. Now we principally give grants to community groups to take care of their heritage. And so many people will know us on that front as a source of funding. But we're always trying to push out the boundaries of heritage thinking. So say from protecting buildings to protecting towns. What is the heritage of a town? Let's say distinct from a building. So one of the really important things about a town is it's a place where certain types of thing can happen, where interactions can happen, where different things are side by side. There's variety, there's interest, and people can find their place. Maybe it's to be anonymous, maybe it's to be the personality on the main street, maybe it's to be on a team, but to be close together. A town is a way of bringing people close together and bringing commerce close together. I'm really struck by all of those business insights about how, for a micro startup, for a startup business, it's important to have different types of service at your disposal, close by, people you know, and people who can help you or solve a problem or buy a service off them and so on. So for all of these reasons, the diversity, and let's call it the intensity of a town, is an incredibly important thing. The way that it functions is an incredibly important thing. And I think it's facilitated by old towns, heritage towns, towns that are divided into small pieces of many old buildings close together.
Colm, during your presentation, you talked about economic and functional value of Irish towns, and I couldn't help but notice the findings that the small shop, the small pub, the small creamery, and the hardware shops there's an ongoing decline in those sort of businesses. Should we be concerned about that?
I think yes. I mean, all of these services are provided in society somewhere, now at the edge of town, now in the donut space around our old towns, where you need to use a car to get there. And, okay, that's grand for the way we live today, as the ad says, but what if we have to do without our cars? We'll find ourselves, I think, gravitating back to these places where things are within easy reach, where you don't have to fill your tank with petrol to get service A, B, or C. So I think towns and old parts of towns are future-proofed. They're going to be durable. They're going to last into the future because they've been well thought out with the old-fashioned technology, without the modern stuff that we now take for granted, but we may have to question into the future.
One more line that struck me during your presentation, Colm. You talked about the quality of the analysis will determine the quality of the outcome.
Yeah, yeah. that's the genius of my little brother, Tony. He said that. And I said, Tony, where'd you hear that? And he said, I made it up myself. And I thought, yeah, he's right, though. If you think about something before you do it, I suppose it's the designer's mentality. If you think about something before you do it, what you think about, all the things you think about, you're going to put into the process of design and check to see if they're there in the end result. So when we're thinking about places, we can think about the values that we associate with places, and some of the things I talked about were livability, memory, social relations that are brought together by people in towns, and so on. And quality of life. So if we observe those things or pick up on them and make them part of what we're looking for in the end result of what we do, then maybe we'll capture them, maybe we'll appreciate them and transmit them into the future. And that, I think, is one of the things that people who are involved in heritage do think about. They think about quality, they think about the great stuff that we got from the past, whatever that might be, whether it's in a museum or a wildlife reserve or a town. And we think, how can we hold on to that and make sure that our children or our children's children or our tourists can enjoy it too?
Colm, what's your view on compulsory use or compulsory purchase?
It's a difficult question, and it is about the agency of the local authority. I'm struck by the title of our Planning Act, which is for sustainable development and in the interests of the common good. And I think maybe at the moment we heard some strong presentations at the conference questioning the absolute rights that have been given to private property. And it's a very tough thing to suggest, but you know, maybe we have an interest in the private property of others. We need it to do something, even just to do something. And so we do need to find a way where we rebalance those rights in our society, where we make use of the things that we have, the environmental resources that we have. And that might mean a bit of pushing and pulling and asking people to do things more than they're comfortable with, and we need to provide the supports for that too. But yes, our towns are a resource, they're an environmental resource, and we will need to get people to fully use them so that we're making efficient use of the resources that we have.
So how important is it that urban heritage is part of our planning system?
Yes, very, very good. I would fully agree with that proposition. I think it is important that it is part of our planning system. It's a basic building block of sustainability to take care of these buildings that are an existing resource and integrate them into the life of the community and make use of them. So adaptive reuse definitely has to be part of the way we think about planning. I'll go further. There's a move afoot at the moment to do a type of accountancy on the buildings that we have, not financial accountancy, but carbon accountancy, to talk about the carbon that is embedded in a building. So if you imagine, you'd have to justify the demolition of a building before you even think about what you'd put on that building site instead, because what's on it represents a resource. There's carbon locked up in bricks and mortar, in standing structures, in timber that was harvested 100, 200 years ago that's still doing its job today.
And finally, Colm, community was probably one of the most commonly used words today by all speakers. I think it's your view that given that when it's a long-term goal, it's only the community that can deliver that ultimately.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that. And I thought it is a bit of a challenging thought. I don't want to be seen as in any way skeptical about our politicians, but they come and go in a 5-year cycle with the elections, and they think in those terms, and that's fair. That's fair enough. Our development plan is like that as well. I remember there was a tax incentive, the living city incentive, and it said you could regain the value of the tax incentive if you lived in the same house for 10 years. That's 2 development plan cycles. I thought that was really interesting. So if you were trying to live in a town, you'd have to be sure that the local authority were going to support you through 2 development plans, 10 years, so you could gain your tax incentive. But in the same way, communities are around for the long term. They can see the changes in political fashions, they can see development plans come and go, they can see planners come and go, but they're there the whole time. And it is that permanence what is what we need to invest in. The people who care about a place, it's important that they are given a voice, and when they raise their voice, when they make their plans, that that becomes the starting point, and it probably will be for something very good. So we can trust our communities. We need to support them to make plans and to create visions for the places that they are taking care of, that they love.
Colin Murray, Architecture Officer with the Heritage Council, thanks for taking the time today to talk to us on Business Matters.
You're welcome, Kieran.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Donan Harvey, Jared McCormick, Lee Gooch, Joe Gallagher and Colin Murray. Thanks to Kevin Fury on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. The part-time Level 8 Honours degree in business is delivered through a mix of online and face-to-face lectures. Email execedbusiness@lyit.ie. That's execedbusiness@lyit.ie. Or call 918-6206.